Kansas State opens up Big 12 play on the road to Stillwater, 3 o'clock kickoff against Oklahoma State. And with us to break it all down is Brian Smoller, the jack of all trades. You can hear him play-by-play voice of women's basketball, volleyball, sportscaster galore. You see him in high definition because that's what Brian's contract. He made sure he wanted to be seen in high definition. Director of video services, he is a multitask guy. Isn't that right? In the contract, when you signed up with K-State, you said, I have to be in high def, not standard, right?
Yeah. Right, it was a stipulation that was negotiated on, and yeah, you bet. Why wouldn't? I mean, if you're going to be seen, you might as well be seen in the best quality possible.
Exactly, and then I guess part of the deal was they made you grow a beard, so you had to grow a beard, and now you just got to make sure there's not cookie crumbs in your beard, because on high-definition TV, we'll really see that, right?
No, my kids keep telling me that there's string in my beard, which is reference to the gray that's in the front, but I just tell everybody here at work, it's the employees that work in the video department underneath in our area that I oversee. I just tell them it's all them. It's causing me the gray hair. It's not my kids. You know, the funny thing about the beard is, and now that we have a new set and we're in a new location for the pregame show and then the in-game updates at football there underneath the new video board, kind of exposed to the elements up there.
Yeah.
And nothing stops that wind, let me tell you. And the last game was surprisingly a little chilly, and I was thinking to myself, well, this is going to be great. Come up November and December, my beard's going to be helpful in trying to keep my face warm. But, yeah, so it'll be insulation here coming up in about a month.
You might have some icicles forming off of it.
That'd be possible.
That would look even better in high definition. Crystal. That'd be terrific. My mom has some dye if you need to use some dye to color those few gray hairs that are in your beard.
Shoe polish is also out there as a possibility. My goal is to hopefully look with the icicles like Marty from Mountain Men. So that's my goal.
That would be awesome. All right, let's talk K-State football. Last time K-State played, they had a bye week, of course, last week. And no, that does not count towards the win total, although KU would like it to when they had their bye. K-State, a triple overtime victory over Louisiana Tech. Now they have 2 weeks to prepare for Oklahoma State. Many people have said, well, Bill Snyder has a lot of time to prepare. That means trouble for the opposition. Some people will counter that and say, well, Bill Snyder's had a lot of time to prepare before bowl games and hasn't had a lot of success in bowl games over the last tenure. Your take on having this much time, having the bye week where it is, headed into Big 12 play?
I think it comes at a good time, and not for preparations, but for healing. K-State was a little bit banged up, and then also trying to iron out some of the issues that have been plaguing this team early on, and not so much defensively, but much more offensively, I think, is really where that focus has been. From the sound of it, K-State has said that they feel like they have taken a step in the right direction. And to that end, I'm not sure they spent 2 weeks on Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. It sounds more like they spent most of the week last week on K-State and really trying to iron out some of the issues on offense. Remember, they've spent the better half of fall practice operating with a different guy under center.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that they would run offense through a different guy. So not that Joe Huebner hasn't played, and I think that's the beauty of him as the backup and now as the starter, is that he's been through some Big 12 play before, so he's not inexperienced, but it's still a whole new world for the most part for a young man that never played quarterback prior to, at least started a game at quarterback prior to college. So you're trying to get through all that and work through those details and offensive line get a little bit better, and penalties have got to come down. So I think they worked quite a bit on that during this last week. So as far as the bye week, that in itself was a positive. I think it came at the right time.
Let's talk about Huebner. As you mentioned, he is now the starter with the injury to Ertz. And you certainly have seen progress with him from week one to week two to week three. Some short passes just well off the mark against Texas San Antonio. Then he made some really big passes and really fired him in there. And, of course, a couple of great catches in the end zone as well by a couple of K-State wide receivers. But all in all, I think he's handled the pressure pretty well, and he's come through with some big plays when K-State really needed it, especially against Louisiana Tech.
I would agree with that. I think he's shown why K-State has him at quarterback, which is he is a tremendous athlete and has an unbelievable arm. Now, if those were the only requirements to play quarterback, you know, LeBron James could be playing quarterback. It goes into decision making, and that comes with time and experience. And even though Joe is a redshirt junior and has played some, he hasn't played all the time. And even Jake Waters, as great as Jake was, if you remember his first year, he really struggled with decision making and threw a lot of interceptions, which was not his MO. And it took him some time to get acclimated to this speed, this level of playing quarterback, even though he had been playing for a while. Now you have Joe, who really doesn't have high school success at quarterback to rely on. He had some, but it was in relief. And now here at K-State, he's been pretty much off the bench. So it's a process. It's just it comes with time, and you're impatient as a fan. We're all impatient. Bill Snyder has said, he's impatient, wants it to come fast. It's just got to take time. And in the meantime, you need other people to help and kind of raise up their game. So we've seen Justin Silman rise to the top and help out, and Charles Jones hopefully can take that next step. The offensive line has some experience back, and hopefully they can take a next step and become a little bit more solidified. And then you need guys like Cody Cook, Andre Davis, Deontay Burton, Dominic Heath on the outside, continue to take those steps forward. I've been a little surprised that the receivers have not been better than they have to this point. We had heard so much that this group would be the ones to help out Huebner because of their talent, and so far we haven't quite seen that, but it may also be play calling. K-State's been pretty conservative so far, I think partly because of Huebner's inexperience trying to, like you said, do some short passing game, get him comfortable. Just so far he hasn't been very good on those touch passes. He's been much better on those bullets down the field.
Brian Smoller, K-State sportscaster, with us on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Okay, I got to ask you this. The Wildcat formation. I've got diehard K-State fans that are just want it to be scrapped. Charles Jones comes in. I've never have fully understood the Wildcat formation myself. It was kind of in vogue there for a while. Now I don't see as many teams using it. If you have Daniel Thomas running it, there's at least the threat of a pass. Bill Snyder's even said that, hey, might want to have a pass option off that formation. Maybe so. What do you think about the Wildcat formation? Many times it's in short yardage situations or closer to the goal line, and I've always sat there and go, your quarterback's good enough to move you down the field, but now you don't trust him in, 3 or 4 yards to punch it in. I'm just not a big fan of that, and I think a lot of other K-State fans I talk to, they've seen it so much, they're getting to the point where they're with me, they're kind of tired of seeing it too.
Well, I think the two things on that. First, no doubt when it doesn't work, it is frustrating.
Sure.
And I think any play, for that matter, if you see it a lot and it doesn't work, you're like, why the heck are they running that?
Exactly.
So, and Bill Snyder pretty much intimated, like you just said, in postgame, those same sentiments, right? Well, that's not working. Why did we continue to run it? So I'm sure there was a conversation about that that night, if not all last week. Quite simply, it worked when you have the threat of a pass, no doubt.
Yep.
And I, like you, am old school and think the quarterback should be there all the time. However, I do understand the thought process behind the Wildcat, which is by eliminating one person in the backfield and having just two running backs in the offensive line, in theory, you are now putting the odds in your favor because someone's got to go out of the box. So you are lowering the amount of defenders that are in the box. That all changes, of course, when you get into the goal line situation and guys know what's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be a snap directly to the running back, and he's going to run straight ahead. I think that was what Bill Snyder's point was in postgame, was you can have the Wildcat formation and try and draw guys out of there, but if you never do anything else other than just run straight ahead and run the same way, well, then people are not going to respect the fact that you're trying to get a defender out of the box. You're just going to keep putting 8-9 guys in the box because they know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Predictability is the killer of all football.
Yep.
And if you get predictable in anything, any play, in any sequence of plays, you're dead in the water. And that was the beauty of the spread and all the air raid offenses that have taken over the league, is that it's the unpredictability of those offenses. So you can be unpredictable and run the Wildcat. K-State's just got to find the balance there. They got to find the balance. If they want to continue to run the offense, which they have done for years under Bill Snyder, got to be a little bit more unpredictable or execute better on the offensive line with your predictability. And both of those two things are staples of K-State play over the years. And we've seen Bill Snyder hold back offensive plays early in the season because it's being saved for later in the year, and it can be maddening at times, but it ends up paying off in the end. Hopefully that's the case with this.
So now K-State, they head to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. And they've lost the last four times they've been at Stillwater, but all the games have been very close for the most part. In fact, the average margin defeat, just over 4 points per game. And Kansas State goes into Stillwater facing Oklahoma State team that honestly got a bit of a gift there with the bad snap on the punt by Texas. Texas cost themselves two games with bad special teams play. So they're 1-0 in Big 12 play. But Oklahoma State, we saw K-State's defense struggle against Louisiana Tech at times. Oklahoma State, and of course the rest of the Big 12, is really going to test that K-State defense the rest of the way.
Yeah, Oklahoma State is a scary opponent, and especially there in Stillwater. They're a tremendous team, and they can score a lot of points in a hurry. That place is tough to play. You know, we're very partial, clearly, to Kansas State in its home environment. Gary Patterson, Art Briles have both, over the last year or so, have talked when asked down at Big 12 Media Days about the best place or toughest place to play on the road. They both have said K-State was the toughest place to play. I think K-State fans that have been down to Stillwater and seen that play, and if you ask the Wildcats themselves, they'll tell you Oklahoma State. If it's not K-State, then it's Oklahoma State. They may be 1 and 1A. It's just a tight environment. The fans are right on top of you. There's no room on the sidelines at all. And it's loud, and they're on top of you. And it's tough. It's really, really tough. And the more difficult part of Oklahoma State, recently in the years past, defensively, they haven't been as stout as they are this year. And I think that's the one concern that you might have going into this game, is that the offense is still there. They're scoring 38 points a game, passing for over 320 yards. They're averaging almost 500 yards per game of all total offense. That all is Oklahoma State under Mike Gundy. The part that kind of scares you about this team is that defensively, even though they had the issues against Texas, they're still only allowing around 15 points a game. Now, what is the only perhaps glimmer of hope, and that you hope is the case again this week, they had some struggles stopping the run against Texas. Yeah. We're at K-State this year is a team that runs the ball. So if they can get in there and run it with some success like they did, like Texas was able to, then you feel good about your chances, because it becomes the 2011-2012 type of K-State team that Colin Klein was running, which is ball control will keep the offense off the field of Oklahoma State and just hang on to it. If K-State can do that, they'll have a chance, but got to find a way to have long, sustained drives, convert first down or third downs, and stay away from penalties. And right now, K-State has not been as good in some of those areas as they need to be.
For Oklahoma State, and I haven't really looked at Oklahoma State too hard yet in regards to their personnel, but what problems can they pose to Kansas State with their personnel?
Well, Mason Rudolph at quarterback, I think, will be better this week than he was last week. He really struggled against Texas. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk this week about J.W. Walsh, the backup quarterback, who's a much more mobile type of quarterback than Rudolph, who's kind of going to stand in there and try and wing it around the yard. My guess is we'll see J.W. Walsh a little bit, but as Bill Snyder said, you don't know if he could play the entirety of the game or if he'll just play a few games, or a few plays, I should say. Mike Gundy, in his own press conference this week, said and kind of revealed that Rudolph injured himself midway through the Texas game, and that was the reason why he was errant with a lot of passes and seemed jittery as the game went on. So I think Rudolph will be better. I mean, this is a guy that comes in, he's thrown for 1,200 yards already this season. Chris Carson at running back has been pretty solid, and then David Glidden at wide receiver is a tremendous talent and will have a chance to play at the next level. So they're offensively, they are very, very good. Defensively, they've been better, although the rush defense against Texas was a bit surprising that they were gashed that hard. We'll see if that continues. And that's the one, if you're going to say what's the concern, it's the offense, no doubt about it, and it's Rudolph finding his rhythm. You want him to start thinking about what happened last week against Texas. If K-State's defensive line, which is much better than people think, as far as one of the best units of the Big 12, if that defensive line can make pressure and make Rudolph start second-guessing himself a little bit like he did against Texas and kind of have those, oh, no, here we go again type of thoughts, K-State will be in good shape.
I think a lot of people, when they look at the schedule for Kansas State, and we talked with Stan Weber before the season about it, and he was pointing to this game as well, that if you can get through non-con at 3-0 and you can find a way to win at Stillwater and you're 4-0, now you have a big road win at Stillwater under your belt. You now have momentum and probably a lot more confidence going back to Manhattan. And yes, TCU is coming up next Saturday and then Oklahoma the following Saturday, but both those games are at Bill Snyder Family Football Stadium. We've seen TCU defensively has all kinds of issues, lots of injuries, suspensions, and there were questions about their defense before the season when guys were healthy. And in Oklahoma, certainly K-State has done fine against Oklahoma. It seems like they've had more success at Oklahoma than at home against the Sooners. Would you agree with that, that if Kansas State can find a way to win this game, this could be one of these games we look back on at the end of the season and say that was the game that kind of helped define the identity and where this team was headed?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think Stan's assessment of the schedule is right. Certainly prior to the season, that was your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think most people thought going to Texas Tech or hosting West Virginia, those two games later in the year, would be as difficult
True. As
going to Stillwater and hosting TCU. But now, as we are here 3-4 weeks into the season, suddenly those two games at the end of the year start to look a little bit tougher than perhaps these two games. And that's taking nothing away from Oklahoma State and TCU or Oklahoma. But no doubt you feel like there's maybe a glimmer of hope of winning those games, going to Stillwater and hosting TCU, as prior to the season you thought, that'd be pretty tough to pull those off. But, you know, it changes week to week in college football really fast. Injuries can derail something really quick. And TCU may go out this weekend and just absolutely hammer Texas. And if that happens, then all of a sudden the narrative on them changes.
Yeah.
So you hate to kind of look too far down the road and say, if this happens, in case they could be set up for this. But going to Oklahoma State at the very least shows that K-State, if they play well enough to find a way to win, I think it shows that this could be a season beyond just the, let's just get to a bowl.
Yeah.
You win that game at Oklahoma State, all of a sudden you start thinking, I don't know if you're going to win the Big 12 yet, but let's start thinking about maybe finishing in the top three or four in the league. As opposed to, we got all this injury issues on offensive quarterback and running a new guy back there, and you're just trying to find a way, let's just muddle through, do the best we can, and see what happens at the end of the year. Suddenly your goals change. And, K-State wouldn't say that. I don't think the football team would say that, because that's not what they should be thinking about. But
right.
I think from a K-State fan perspective, your goals of what the season could be certainly take a dramatic change if you win this game.
When you look at the rest of the schedule, now that we are 4 weeks in technically after the open date last week and K-State's 3-0, what's, I don't know if it'd be expectation, maybe that's the wrong word to use, but what is a realistic goal in your opinion in regards to Kansas State with how many wins this year? Now I'll go back to what Stan said, but this was before the year, so things could have changed. Obviously Ertz is no longer the quarterback, but he thought 7-8 wins would be tremendous for Kansas State looking at the schedule. Would you agree with that, or do you think there's maybe some more opportunity here than people thought before the season, or do you think it's more treacherous than people thought before the season?
Well, I would say that, like we said before, I think now that we're into the season a little bit, the Texas Tech and West Virginia games perhaps are more difficult than first thought,
right?
But I do think that the other games, TCU here and at Oklahoma State and maybe at Texas, are I don't want to say easier, because I don't think it's easy in the Big 12 ever.
Right.
But I think perhaps those are more winnable than you first had an idea they might be.
Mm-hmm.
I think 7-8 is still the target, and I think it stays there until you know a little bit more about where K-State's going to be. If K-State comes out against Oklahoma State and looks largely the same team we just saw against Louisiana Tech, well, then I think 7 or 8 would be you would hope to get there, right? Hope that that's where they end up. If they come out and they look like a much sharper team and they play well, even if they lose the game but play well, and by playing well, I mean playing K-State football, limited penalties, forcing some turnovers, playing good defense, special teams, and offensively run the football and have some semblance of offense, then you feel like maybe 7 or 8 is the minimum, and if you catch a break, you could improve on that. I think that's kind of where you stand.
I was asked this the other day. Starting quarterback, Jesse Ertz, of course, done for the season. Has he had surgery, or where does things stand with him, and then what's the rehab process going to be like for him?
Honestly, I don't know, and that's not trying to evade the question.
Sure.
I just haven't asked nor paid much attention to it,
sure,
only because we've been so focused on trying to see how Joe Huebner has progressing. My guess is that he has, but I, you know, that's just me guessing, literally just taking a shot in the dark, only from the sense of if it was determined he's out and he's not going to come back, well, then you'd want to move ahead and get that done so he can rehab and get right. back healthy and back to practicing as soon as possible. You don't want to drag those things out because it only delays the amount of rehab time. And again, that's just me, common sense logic, just throwing stuff at the wall to see if it sticks. Honestly, don't know, but in the meantime, K-State's got to get Joe Huebner better, and Jesse Ertz, I know, has been a big part of that. He's been meeting with Joe and helping him, telling him what he saw, and worked down through the fall, and it also helps having Colin Klein on staff.
Yes.
to be able to impart some wisdom to Joe with Huebner, especially since the offense now has reverted back a little bit to what it was like when Colin first became quarterback. There are a number of similarities in the situation between Colin Klein and Joe Huebner. I don't want to say they're similar in their abilities, because that's unfair to Joe, but it is a similar situation. Colin Klein, unheralded, moved from wide receiver, had not played much quarterback here, although he had done it in high school, and ran similarly, kind of a bland vanilla offense with play action pass. It's kind of what K-State is right now. Hopefully that can, hopefully, like we said, this weekend it becomes something that K-State relies on to the success level of 2011.
Yeah, I feel for Ertz, man. You win the job and then get hurt right off the bat to start the season. That's the bummer, and we hope he comes back strong and ready to go next year in camp. All right, time for our off-the-wall question for you, Brian, to end the interview. Have you ever met Boone Pickens?
No, I have not met Boone Pickens.
Would you like to meet Boone Pickens?
Sure. Why wouldn't you want to meet Boone Pickens? You never know what he's going to say.
And if you did meet Boone Pickens, what would be the first question you would ask him?
Where's the best place to drill for oil?
Love it. Excellent answer. Brian passes the test. That would have been my first one as well. Like, where do you stash your money or where do you drill for oil? Which is basically the same thing. It's, yeah, it's in the ground, right?
Is there a spot somewhere that you have a recommendation, a field? You walk out with a stick and say, yep, this is the spot. I mean, what's the process? That's what I would want to know.
Is there one spot you haven't tapped yet there?
Yeah, right. Is there just one laying out there that no one knows about that you'd love to give to me?
I know we've just met, but, you know, I have a beard. I'm pretty cool. People love me, you know?
That's right.
That's funny. Hey, man, we appreciate the time as always. Keep up the great work. We'll be talking to you again down the line, and best of luck to the Cats this weekend. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Not a problem, Wade. Best to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you. Brian Smoller with us from Kansas State University, breaking down the Wildcats football season opener in the Big 12 this Saturday.